And online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And happy Tuesday, everyone. Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, along with Zach Williams. We'll be with you until 6 tonight. Open phones if you'd like to be a part of the show in this early part of the first hour. 615-844-5600. 844-5600. We'll be talking football, basketball, a little bit of everything. Teresa Walker joins us around 4:35 with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Just after 5, Barrett Salee, national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. And Tim Corbin, who normally joins us on Mondays at 4:35, he had something to do yesterday, Zach, and so he'll be joining us today around 5:35 as we look back at the start of the 2021 baseball season, a nice doubleheader sweep of Wright State. And I'm curious to get his thoughts about this, because you win the first game 14-1, they pull away and win. But in the second game, you get the great pitching again, 1-0. And so I'm thinking early on, before you ever get into SEC play, which will be coming up in March, in these kind of games, you probably like opportunities like that to have games where you're just taking care of business, your hitting is working, your clutch hitting in timely situations, your pitching. And then again, you get that second game of the doubleheader where, you know, you really have to bear down and just look for whenever you can get an opportunity.
Yeah, well, they used so much energy in that first game. You know, you could really tell, like, there was parts of that game. You're talking about the first game went almost 4 hours. The second game went almost 2 hours and 20 minutes. So there was a real lull, I think, in the second game, too, where, you know, that first game, they just put so much energy into it. They were so back to baseball after a full year of not playing, that the team seemed like they just were red hot and wanted to put all their energy in. Then that second game came, and, you know, playing the doubleheader to start the season is rough, you know, especially without any live in game. So I know those guys were probably tired in that second game. But if you're the SEC or any team in college baseball, you're looking at that rotation of Rocker and Leiter right now. Man. That is the one, pick whoever you want. Pick whoever you want. But that is the number one, and that is the number two in college baseball pitchers. They are absolutely deadly. And, I mean, these three-game series, you could almost lock up guaranteed the first two games just because they're going to be pitching.
And here's what I'm going to say about this. On paper, that's exactly the way it looks. Preseason, that's the way it looks with Rocker and Leiter. But, you know, Rocker has shown what he has done. Leiter still has a small canvas of work. Now, we know he's talented, but I guarantee you, Coach will not want to go down that path just yet. You know, you like what you have with them, but they're still growing. And Rocker will continue to grow. But at the same time, with Jack Leiter, you know, it's more on the what we think he's going to be instead of what he has shown us in a lengthy period of time. And I think that will be one of those things where if you start going down that path too soon, you forget about putting in the kind of work that will get you where you need to be week in and week out, if you know what I mean.
Well, we just got to hope that, you know, he doesn't get that. What you're saying basically is that he does get a big head. That's really what it is keeping it down. And that's for anybody, right? That's for any, even LeBron, right? Even all the thing LeBron's done and all the things that he's been able to do. Tom Brady, same way. It's like keep that drive and mentality going forward. But, man, his ability is I'm willing to say I think Leiter's the better pitcher too. I think Leiter is going to have a better career as a Vandy, not only Vandy, but going into the MLB if he stays healthy, you know, barring any injury. But, man, the stuff he's able to do, because I saw him last year in their opening game, because they were able to play their opening game last year. Before COVID-19 got in. I think they got a couple series in. But the watching him live to then seeing him not even miss a beat to the way he's pitching, you don't understand how hard it is to watch a guy throw 90, 95, 98 in that range and then be able to put an off-speed pitch that is almost 20 miles per hour is different.
But like, it looks the same as far as coming out of your hand and everything.
Well,
and
that's where it's crazy. It's crazy because, you know, a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, you have a 0.02% chance of hitting it.
Like, That'd be like Rocker throwing his fastball, and then you're trying to throw your fastball the same way, and that's about what we're talking about in velocity.
Right, but then you're also, though, see, the change in 20 miles per hour, that's the eye level, the everything that changes with that is insane, and that's why you're seeing this guy get, what, he rack up six straight Ks in the first two innings, because the batters don't know what's coming. There's no way to time for it, and some of the stuff he's doing, he is... that rapidly impressive. I mean, he is a stud. He is an absolute stud up on that bump.
Now, the big story today, and we'll get into this as well, the car wreck, and everybody, and this is the sad part, and I guess you can technically blame Tiger Woods on his past, but it's been a few years as far as that's concerned. But as soon as you heard about this car wreck that happened early this morning, everybody's assuming, was alcohol involved? Was drugs involved? It just sounds like, and this is, to me, bad reporting because, you know, TMZ reported this originally. But then you started seeing all these folks, start looking at the actual wreck itself, where it happened, and they're going, there has to be something else here. Well, it turns out, at that time of morning, fog is a major issue in that area. So fog's an issue. It's a steep hill. And if you throw in speeding, which all indications for witness reports, speeding was a factor. I mean, when this wreck started, where the debris started to where it ended, 500 feet. That's almost two football fields long. As far as, so pump the brakes as far as assuming that alcohol or drugs or something else was involved. Was he agitated? You know, like I said, witness reports are talking about the fact that potentially agitated, in a hurry, speeding. But first and foremost, thoughts and prayers go out to him for a speedy recovery. He has sustained multiple leg injuries in this single car crash. He has been hospitalized in surgery, and we'll keep you updated when we learn more. But pump the brakes about assuming alcohol, drugs, or something else was involved. Okay.
But what,
okay,
what are they going to do when they don't get their clicks that they're wanting, Johnny?
I guess.
That's what it's all it is.
Because you start seeing some of these official news reports, these bloggers who thinks they're now, you know, Walter Cronkite, and talk about, I don't understand how a wreck like this could have occurred on a straight part of, you know, straight road. It's not straight. It's a very steep area on this road we're talking about, all right? So stop. Just period. Because once you go there, you've already lost the argument because you obviously do not have any idea what you're talking about. So there.
Oh, yeah. Well, everybody always wants to assume the worst things in the world.
Yeah. We love to build up people to bring them down.
Yeah, that's really what it is. People want it to be alcohol related. People want to see Tiger fall from grace.
It is. And this is why nothing bothers me. My skin is thick, and it's because of the fact that I understand there's so many folks out there that are too lazy to put in the work to make themselves better. This is too much of a percentage of our folks that live here, not only just in our country, across the world too, instead of putting in the work to make themselves better, to improve their own lives, they love tearing down other folks. So for me, it's like, whatever. And that's my
you off the soapbox today. Yeah, I was going to say, you off of it now?
Which is not a very big leap for me, by the way. I mean, I don't really need a lot. You know, I got the short legs, so just hop in there.
It's self-admitted.
By the way, better me say it before you
right,
do.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was on
but
the
you
precipice.
Know, you know, on something, the precipice. We're going to, by the way, a little bit later, somebody from Murfreesboro is going to join us, Jenny Tatum. And I don't know if you've seen this video.
I saw it.
It was posted by Stassi, was awesome with WKRN originally. And, you know, it's just incredible where, you know, two dogs, backyard, playing around in the snow and the ice last week, right? And I was amused by what my dog was doing in the snow, right? Unfortunately, one of these dogs fell into the iced over swimming pool. And Jenny Tatum, a wife, mother, a dog lover, and she did something that I don't know if you think about it, you probably would not do. But in the moment, realizing she has to save her dog, she jumped into her swimming pool, broke the ice, and was able to rescue her dog, who, by the way, was motionless. The dog is in good shape. They are treating it for pneumonia. But the fact that the dog was in shock, the dog was not going to be able to save itself. And so we're going to have Jenny on, and just the fact that she did something like that, my hero right there. Probably hero for all dog lovers or pet lovers if they get a chance. We posted the video, too, on our Facebook page at Nash Sports Radio. You definitely want to check this out because I'm like, oh, my goodness. That is amazing. Her son was asking her, by the way, if because now this video has kind of gone viral, and she had no idea what viral meant. But it's a good thing in this particular case. Not a good thing if you're doing something wrong at 2 in the morning. In this particular case, a very good thing. All right, before we go to break, Jeff in the Borough, welcome to the show.
How's it going, Bob Parker? You thawed out now?
Getting there. The driveway still has, I mean, I know the temperatures have been hot for the last couple of days. Still a little snow and ice in the driveway, but at least the streets. Mount Franks is now drivable, so that's a good thing.
I guess you got a chance to watch a lot of television last week. Did you watch any college hoop on?
Saw a lot of hoop action. Watched Tennessee get embarrassed. So, yeah, watched that. Watched Alabama survive Vanderbilt. So, watched a little bit of everything.
Did you, have you and Zach, I know Zach's looked at it. Have you seen the fan league that's coming out the little, where you call the plays and control the rosters and things? I know Zach's excited about it. Are you excited about it, too?
So what is that again? I'm sorry.
There's a fan controlled. They call it the Fan Football League, where the fans call the plays and they control the rosters. It's something online. It's only going to last 3 weeks.
Is this where you predict it, or you actually can call it and they will actually run it?
The fans call the plays, and the fans control who's on the roster.
And you know who's on the rosters too of one of these teams, Johnny Football.
Yeah. Who
can great.
Mm-hmm. He scored a touchdown in his first game.
Gee, I'm sorry I missed that. That would be that, not must-see TV for Johnny Franks.
Marshawn Lynch, he owns a team. Richard Sherman's a part owner of some of these teams. So fans can buy in, too. You can, like, make a donation, basically, but you're a part owner of the team. I don't think you see any, like, revenue of it. But you can control, like, some of the plays. You can pick plays, how they run the plays, how their design is. It looks more like arena football. But, yeah, it's interesting what they're doing.
Yeah, that doesn't really interest me.
It's a three-week thing, only four teams. So whatever.
That's like that that video game that the former Pittsburgh head coach was on the cover. Where is what is that head coach or something up that they sent out? Where you, instead of actually playing the games,
oh yeah, NFL head coach.
Yeah. You can.
Well,
basically,
it's smart because they do it wisely because they don't do it like it doesn't have a TV package, but they're doing it on like the social platform, so you can watch it on Twitch. You can watch it on like Facebook and Facebook Live and all that kind of stuff to where, you know, it's geared to a much different audience than NFL would ever be geared to. It's kind of smart.
I was going to ask you guys, I know if you knew this or I know if SEC's doing this or not, but Conference USA's doing it this year. On the weekends, they're having four-game series, so they're having single games on Friday and Sunday, and Saturdays they're having doubleheaders, 2 7-inning games. Do you know if the SEC is doing that?
Well, we know that Vanderbilt coming up this weekend against Georgia State. Now, originally I think they were going to have the doubleheader Saturday, but they have a single game Friday, single game Saturday, and then a doubleheader on Sunday with Georgia State. So I know Vanderbilt is doing it for this coming weekend, this weekend, but they will not be doing it next weekend for Illinois-Chicago.
Oh, because I know Thomas USA is doing it this year for the conference games. They went from 24 to 32. They're going to have 8 weekends of 4 games each every weekend. And then they're doing 2 divisions as far as East and West Division. I should know if any other conferences were doing that, going to 4 game series. What they want to do is they want to limit you or not have hardly any midweek games once the conference season starts.
Right. And that makes sense. I mean, based on with COVID-19 still a problem out there, I can understand exactly what they're trying to do there.
I know it's something permanent, but I think they're thinking about doing permanent maybe. But and also I heard about Tiger Woods. I was watching this afternoon. They said he broke both his legs, but none of it's life threatening injury. So that's a good thing. I think he'll hopefully he'll be okay and gets out of the hospital. It's gonna be a long recovery, but hopefully he can be all right. And it's a good thing it wasn't worse than it really was. You know, his car looks pretty badly damaged, but he's okay, and that's the main
I will just say this. After seeing what happened to Alex Smith, I understand his injury occurred on a football field and they had the staph infection or whatever the infection was caused by as far as from the turf that somehow got into the injury. Until I know for sure you're fully healed, after seeing what he went through, I will never say that, you know, he should have a full recovery until he actually has a full recovery.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know that. I mean, I don't know what you mean, but I'm just saying if he was to recover for it, you know. But, it's going to take a long time, though. But enjoy the show, guys. And also, I guess Texas A&M's the next team to opt out of the SEC. They've missed seven straight games in a row now. Hadn't played nearly a month. I guess Kentucky will play two or three games next week before the tournament starts. They're going to try to get some games because I don't know if the SEC is going to make up their games or not. So they have a nasty thing about it. So fish to see if they will. But I'll hang up and listen, guys. Enjoy the show. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate that as well. Hey, by the way, did you see we knew that Chris Mack, the head coach of Louisville, you know, he had tested positive back in January for COVID-19 and Louisville had to shut down for a few games as far as because of COVID-19 issues. That's fine. We understand the problems that you have. But at the same time, a video came out from December where he was celebrating a victory with his team and the mask was down and all that. And it's like, yeah, not a good look, especially after the fact we learned that he tests positive for COVID and the team has to shut down because of COVID-19 issues. Never a good look. All right, coming up a little bit later this hour, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. But coming up on the other side, a Murfreesboro hero. That's the only way I can describe it. Jenny Tatum will join us for a few minutes to tell us about what she did last week, because if you haven't seen the video, it's posted on her Facebook page at Nash Sports Radio, saving her dog. And to me, she's a hero for all pet lovers out there, not just in the Middle Tennessee area, but across the country as well. But we'll have a few minutes to visit with Jenny Tatum on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Traffic's increased quite a bit in the last few minutes here on 24 eastbound, passing Briley, headed out towards Murfreesboro, Rutherford County. Here comes that traffic now on the South Loop. The West Loop, 65, still looks pretty good down into Brentwood, Franklin, down through that section of Williamson County. Thompson Lane and Grandview, that's a wreck. Just reported that intersection a few minutes ago. You never know when you might need them. Free at last bell bonds, serving Davidson, Williamson, and Rutherford counties. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Pennington Distilling Company is a proud sponsor of WNSR's Pickin' with the Pickers with Greg Pogue and John Burton. Pickers Vodka, Pickers Unplugged Seltzers, and canned cocktails are all available and made right here in Nashville, along with the award-winning Davidson Reserve line of whiskeys and Whisper Creek, Tennessee Sippin' Cream. Learn more by touring the distillery in the nation's neighborhood, by following Pennington Distilling Company on social media, or online at PenningtonDistillingCo.com.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison and check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this Tuesday afternoon. A sunny sky, high middle to upper 60s, light westerly winds. Clear sky tonight, low 42. Increasing clouds, warm for your Wednesday. Tomorrow's high 65 with blustery west winds. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's TJ Matthews.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Listen to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show online live at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks, with you along with Zach Williams. So, Zach, you know, last week with all the snow, the ice, we were looking for things to watch. Obviously a lot of sporting events. Let me just say, today, preparing for the show, I came across this video shared by WKRN Stassi Olmos of, to me, a hero. And if you're a pet owner, if you love pets, then Jenny Tatum of Murfreesboro, to me, the most athletic thing that I've seen, not only, you know, last week, I'm talking about in recent years. She did something that, if I had to think about, probably wouldn't do, but my guess is Jenny didn't think about it either. Jenny Tatum joining us now. Jenny, thank you for taking time out with us.
No problem.
All right, so the video, basically, if you would just explain it, because you have two dogs, and they were certainly just like our dog. You know, they were enjoying the nice snow, the ice in the backyard. You have a swimming pool back there, and then take it from there, if you would.
Yeah, so basically, had let them out. The little dog, Sid, who's actually the one that ended up going in, isn't a fan of the cold or ice or snow or even the water. So, with the snow, I just kind of would stand on the porch, and so let them out, and they kind of took off running, were playing, and I actually stepped out onto the porch and was kind of videoing them playing when he actually slid in, and I really think that he thought it was just an extension of the concrete because of how it looked. So he fell in, and I was actually on the porch, so I took off running, jumped in, didn't saw where he entered, but couldn't see him physically. So I searched around. I kind of broke through the ice in hopes that if he was swimming, he would actually be able to come up. And then, you know, it shows me getting out, came back around. I actually saw the brown shadow kind of over in the corner. And so then that's when I took back around, jumped in, and was able to get him. But at that point, he was, I think he went into shock when he hit the water because there was little to no struggle. He basically just kind of floated up.
And Jenny, and to give you an example of where this dog went in, where Sid, your is a pit bull mix, where Sid went into the pool, is at that halfway point where you've got the short end, you got the deep end of the pool, and it was right there on the cusp. And so, you know, first of all, I've been to the exhibit over in the east part of Tennessee, the Titanic exhibit at Pigeon Forge, and you know, you have a chance where you can put your hand into the water and experience what, unfortunately, the victims of the Titanic experience as far as how cold the water is. And this is what we're kind of talking about, is what you jumped into. At any point, did you realize, I mean, how cold the water was, or were you even thinking along those terms?
You know, I really, after it was all said and done, I think I'd probably risk maybe my own life in some regard, just jumping into that cold water. But when I jumped in, I didn't really even think about it. The only thing that did cross my mind is that I knew I didn't need to go underwater, because that was, and so he was right on the edge of, like you said, where it kind of transitioned into the deeper part. And I knew if he went out there, there was going to be no way to get him. So I was really thankful that he was there, but it was definitely cold.
Well, we have shared,
we
have shared this amazing video on our Facebook page, and give us an update too, by the way, on Sid.
He is, he's probably about 95% recovered. He is being treated for pneumonia just kind of as a precautionary treatment, but he's terrified to go out back. We're still having to take him out front, but hopefully once all the ice and snow is completely gone and he has some time to adjust, he should make a full recovery.
I know your son is very happy the fact that your video has gone viral. And listen, here's the thing about it too, not just is the fact that it's an amazing story, But it just seemed like a very innocent thing, and all of a sudden you go into rescue mode. You know, maybe this benefits somebody else that experiences where not just an animal, but also maybe a child has something like this happens to them. Because honestly, Sid, as you pointed out, went into shock. Sid was not moving. Sid was not trying to rescue. It's, at that point, Sid was, you know, if you had not done what you did, we would not be talking about Sid in the present tense. And so maybe this helps somebody down the road, whether a pet or a child or whatever the case may be. But I just know one thing. You are certainly a hero, and especially for all the pet lovers out there.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
All of our best to Sid. Make sure Sid gets all the treats that Sid wants for the next week or so.
I'm sure he will.
Thank you again.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right, Jenny. That's Jenny Tatum once again in Murfreesboro. You know, to a good point about that, though, you know, look, because it looked so innocent, it wasn't like, you know, Sid just jumped into the swimming pool, Zach. You know how dogs are. They're playful and just not realizing the at that point how close he was to the edge of the pool, went in, and that was it. So maybe, like I said, this could save a life down the road. Hopefully we will. I know you love the snow. Hopefully we don't have to deal with this kind of weather then again for another 6 years, though.
I heard somewhere like later on this week it's supposed to snow, or maybe next week.
Stop that. No, not this week.
Not this week? I saw something.
Not around here, so you stop that nonsense.
I'm fine with it if it does, though. I love snow.
No. We're good as far as that's concerned. All right, so the Nashville Predators. What's your thought about the Preds these
days?
See,
you don't want to talk about snow, but you'll talk about the Predators. Like, they're not equally bad.
Well, they're both, you know, one of the things that we can talk about is the fact that both, talking about cold, they're certainly not, they don't have a hot streak right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, it's just bad right now. I mean, they're going to be there's already rumors of Ekholm is one name that's already on the trade block, if you will. A lot of teams seem like they're foaming in the mouth to get Ekholm. They feel like they could probably use him better than what the Preds are using him, and his contract's really favorable. So that's one that, you know, you already hear on the trade. So it's just every week we're going to have more and more of trade rumors, because we're at a point now it seems like the Preds are just going to start cleaning house and preparing for everybody hold your breath, a rebuild.
Well, here's the thing. What happens if tonight? Because they're playing on the road tonight in Detroit. If they lose tonight, they're in last place. If they lose in regulation, I should say, they're in last place. I mean, period. I mean, they're all by themselves. That's not a good thing. Although, I guess technically you can say, well, they're tied with Dallas. But other than if they lose tonight, but that's not good with the kind of talent we're talking about.
No, it's not good, and they. Once again, this is one of the, I think, one of the possible worst years in recent history that they're going to have, and it's just not looking good for the Preds. And I mean, at what point do you start, like I said, when do we start treating this Preds team like the 2015 Titans? You know, that just, that people were berating them, talking about how bad they are, and it seems like now people still have like a kind heart for the Preds, or maybe they're starting to change their minds a little bit. I don't know.
All right, so how are you supposed to look at the Memphis Grizzlies? Because last year I thought that they arrived too soon. They were not expected to do what they did last year. And then when they, you know, the season gets shut down and then they resume play in the summer, you know, they kind of played like we thought that they were going to play all year. They improved, but certainly not a quote-unquote playoff team. We look at this year's team, and the fact, you know, I guess because of the injuries when people were out, including John Morant, when people were out, they were playing really good basketball, competitive, fired up. But as they've gotten healthier, now they can't, they can't find that consistency. You know, they win 7 games in a row, then they lose 4 games, and then they win, lose, win a couple, now lose a couple. And so maybe this year they're a 500 team. And that's not a bad thing, knowing where they were 2 years ago. But I guess last year kind of gave us more hope, and especially what they did earlier this year with the injuries and what they were still doing.
Well, I mean, let's look at the finals champions from last year, right? The Lakers, they're on a downward skid.
And no Anthony Davis.
and that happens. You know, that teams are going to have that happen where they're just...
And LeBron looks like he's you now shooting shots, whether free throws or whatever. Can't buy a basket.
And so, I mean, teams are going to find skids, what it is, and it's going to happen at all points of the season. There's no team, like, there's very few teams in history of NBA that just... They never let go, right? You had a couple of the Bulls teams. You had, obviously, the Golden State a few years ago. But for the most part, teams are going to have skids where they're going to lose a couple in succession. So hopefully you see that maybe they figure it out. And once again, early on, they had some young pieces, depth pieces that had to take bigger roles because of the injuries. And you hope later in the season, when it really does matter, right, towards the end of the season going into the playoffs, and hopefully they get into the playoffs, that they are – those pieces finally start using that time that they got early on. So it could be beneficial, but I think, you know, for the Grizz, they're gonna figure it out. But once again, this isn't the world beating team. We're talking 2 years from now. That's the Grizz team that we want to see start climbing the mountain ranges. This team, anything right now is still the rebuild, if you will. They're trying to figure it all out. But anything they get is you know, it's cherry on top right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree. I think that they actually built up our hopes and expectations just because
they could
do
it again, because they could go on a 5-game streak.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, they have the ability.
They're a dangerous team.
Yeah.
Very dangerous team. They'll be back in action coming up, by the way, on Thursday night as they take on the Los Angeles Clippers, 6:30 for the pregame tip coming up just after 7. All right, coming up on the other side, Hall of Famer, 4-time Sports Writer of the Year, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. By the way, just a quick reminder, if you're going to be hanging out with friends or family members, having a drink or two, here's the thing, don't get behind the wheel. Designated drivers are the real MVP. So if you've been drinking, pass your keys to a sober friend. The Tennessee Highway Safety Office reminds you that fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Good afternoon. Starting to build pretty good now. 24 East headed out towards Briley Parkway. As you make your way out into Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, traffic's on the increase now big time. 65 here off the South Loop. Still looks good, however. 65 down into Brentwood. 40 has picked up even more so. Coming through Mount Julie and all that traffic in Wilson County headed back towards Lebanon. Hey, create your own mini donuts at Donut Distillery, located 311 Gallatin Avenue in East Nashville. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hi there, Jackson Hewitt Tax Service here. Want to save some money filing your taxes? File your taxes with Jackson Hewitt now and pay $50 less than you paid someone else last year. That's right, pay $50 less than last year. Have your taxes done by a skilled Jackson Hewitt Tax Pro and get the biggest refund possible, guaranteed. It's win-win-win. Get more, pay less, but act now. The offer won't last. Get your coupon code and offer details at jacksonhewitt.com. That's Jackson Hewitt.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance, it's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
At Slim Chickens, we're known for our 100% all-natural buffalo wings. Fresh, delicious, and fried to perfection. Now available in 2 new dry rub flavors. Our house favorite, Cayenne Ranch, blends cool with a kick of cayenne. And lemon pepper brings tangy zest and a punch of black pepper. But hurry, get them while you can. Whether you're dining in, driving through, or ordering online, Slim's has you covered.
With 3 locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
What in the hell's an internet?
Nashville Sports Radio has been covering Music City for over 20 years. From your radio dial to the App Store, there's no reason you should be without Nashville Sports Radio. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nash Sports Radio. We would have a TikTok account, but we're old and we don't know what that is. From live games to live streaming, at Nash Sports Radio has you covered. Download the Nashville Sports app to your phone now. Or the puppy gets it.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, Barrett Salee, National College Football writer with CBSSports.com, also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84, but right now, Hall of Famer, four-time Sports Writer of the Year, Teresa Walker with the Associated Press here in Nashville. Teresa, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the show.
My pleasure, Johnny. How you doing?
Life is good. Much better than I can say the Nashville Predators. Tonight, let's just throw it out there. If they lose on the road in Detroit, they will be no worse than tied by themselves in last place inside the division. They could still be tied with Dallas, depending on what Dallas does. But that's not a place where anybody associated with that organization expected or wanted this team to be at this point in the season.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, this is a team that is like, we're good. We're going to compete. We learned our lesson. We've got to go out and do it. We can't say it, and it's all about the production. And yet we're here, and we haven't been seeing much production. Now, they had an absolute must win on Saturday, without a doubt. And let's face it. I mean, raise your hands if you were kind of surprised that one, they had a lead. Two, that when they lost it and got tied, that they were able to come back and retake that lead and get a win on the road. I mean, count me. I was, absolutely. And that's the thing. The seat under John Hines and, yes, David Poyle is pretty close to boiling at this point. So, if the Predators want to work off that ledge, get back in the room, and, I'm not even going to say get in contention at this point, just show us that you can win more than a period, more than one game. Start stringing some things together. Now, Ryan Johansson, he's going to be back in the lineup. He's been activated off of IR. That's a very good thing. He was skating this morning with Nick Cousins and Ailey Pelvinen. So, go out and show, his point production hadn't been great, but when he was out, you could tell that obviously he brings something to this lineup. The offense is way down without him around on the ice. So go out there and start doing some stuff. Detroit's the team you should beat. It's a team that they shouldn't have lost to on their home ice, a week ago Saturday? So go out there and win this game. Prove that you're not among the very worst in the NFL, NHL, and start doing something about it. Now's the time. I know that David Poyle remains ever optimistic, but it's time for the, pavement to hit the road, whatever cliche you want to use. But they got to start showing they can get the biscuit in the basket and get some W's on the board and start climbing their way out of this mess.
Speaking of messes, and it's not a mess. It's just things that you have to do in the off season if you're an NFL franchise. This is that time of year where you got to decide about franchise tags, if you're going to put one on or not. You've got to decide who you want back, who you can get back, how to get yourself in respectable position with regards to the salary cap, and still, oh, by the way, maybe still being a player with a player here or there, maybe a J.J. Watt, as far as in the free agent market. The team is not that far per se, but then again though, the 2021 team is not going to look like anything like the 2020 team.
Johnny, I'm just going through the lists and working on my free agency capsule as we speak, and by my count, I'm coming up with something like 20 undrafted free agents who are hitting the market. Now, the Titans have got to decide, do you want to bring in a Watt? Do you think that you could do better if Jadeveon Clowney has a whole training camp to go through? And does that make the pass rush better? Daquan Jones, Corey Davis, Desmond King, Jonnu Smith, Michael Pruitt, Jayon Brown, Stephen Gostkowski, and I'm not even getting into the guys like, oh, yeah, your long snapper, Matt Overton, Will Compton, Nick DeZubnar, Chris Milton, some, key special teams guys. And that's not counting. There's 5 restricted free agents who you should be keeping around. Things are going to be looking different. How different? Let's stay tuned. But, this is a team that doesn't have a ton of cap space right now. They're going to have to do some things to create that. And guess what? You create cap space by either redoing contracts and converting salaries into signing bonuses, which also means a cap hit at some future date. But you also can do it by cutting people. So, what does John Robinson choose to do to get this team where it needs to be? And, oh, yeah, that's a, forget a 53-man roster. That's a 51-man roster, and have the ability to do some things like, have a whole, 90 man roster for training camp. So this team is about to undergo some pretty big changes potentially. Now, here's the one thing we know. Derrick Henry, not going anywhere this year. Ryan Tannehill, not going anywhere. So, those guys are under contract. So is a Jeffrey Simmons. And, so guess what? At this point, things are looking, you have to reload. You have the core. And, if you're pitching to J.J. Watt, I should put on some film. It's like, you remember that game in January 3rd in Houston where Derrick Henry ran for 250? Yeah, and we've got a guy who threw for 33 touchdown passes. You can be the guy that helps anchor our defense and gets us to a championship. At least that'd be my pitch.
It seems like it's been 3 or 4 years ago, but we're talking about a year ago as far as leading up to the April draft of 2020. And I'm trying to remember exactly the limitations that NFL teams had in other years, as far as being able to have a lot of in-person, one-on-one type of chats with individuals they were interested in drafting. Certainly COVID-19 changed a lot of things, and the draft was no exception. I bring it up because how did the Titans miss so badly on the mindset of one Isaiah Wilson?
Well, John Robinson talked to us last Tuesday and said that they had a lot of meetings with Isaiah Wilson. And, the only questions when they drafted him last year at 29 overall was, did they reach a little bit? But there was the thought that while he might need some development, he should turn into a, productive offensive lineman in the NFL. But, as John Robinson said, the guy that they got to know and the guy that they talked to so much isn't the guy who showed up for work when it was time for training camp. And, it's tough not to look at his Twitter handle of Lazy and just wonder, he comes to camp, he's put on the COVID list. He ends up on the COVID list again. There's the incident over at Tennessee State in the off-campus apartments in August. And then there was the incident in September where he was arrested. And then there was the reports of another vehicle accident. We know that they suspended him for the Cleveland game, and then they put him on the NFI list. So that's the thing. They gave him opportunities, and all they've gotten out of him for 1 year is 3 offensive snaps, in garbage time, and 1 special team snap. 4 snaps from your number one pick, 29 overall, a guy in a year where 2 tackles went down and you needed him, and they couldn't get him to be productive or be ready to go on the field. And that's the thing John Robinson said, is we have a standard here, and you have to meet that. And right now, it just, especially with that tweet last night, yes, he might not have put it, it might have been somebody else. It was deleted shortly thereafter. But, it's just yet another, piece on the fire here, and it's just burning brightly. I mean, how much longer can the Titans be patient? I think he's got a dead cap hit of, more than a couple million this year. So there's a reason why they're taking their time before making a decision. In the NFL, you don't make a decision or get rid of somebody until you absolutely have to. Stay tuned. This soap opera involving Isaiah Wilson doesn't seem over just yet, at least not in Nashville.
Here's the thing. If somebody had hacked into my Twitter account or somebody else had access to it and put the words "done with football as a Titan," and it wasn't me, guess what I would be doing shortly thereafter? I would be posting a tweet basically saying, I did not write that. Somebody was having fun with my account. I apologize. Something, right? You just don't leave it just out there to the wind.
Kenny Britt managed to get out real quickly that he was hacked on social media once upon a time when there were some things came out on his social media feed that, so yes, it is possible. So, are the odds in the arrow pointing at most likely Isaiah Wilson having done that? Yes. Somebody who got to him to get him to delete that. Hopefully they can talk some sense into this young man while there's still time to salvage his professional career.
Yeah, but as well as I do, that's why there's so much practice going on. That's why coaches, whether you're talking about college ranks or the NFL preseason, they are testing players mentally, physically to see if they're exhausted in the fourth quarter. Do they still have fight in them? So they know that they can depend on them to be on that field. If they need a winning drive, that guy can be out there to help that winning drive. There's nothing that Wilson has shown the Tennessee Titans over the last year that he is that guy.
True, but here's the thing. You don't give up on somebody until you have to. You know, with Kevin Dodd, they went, two seasons and coming up to his third training camp, and when he didn't report, that's when they cut him. You know, and he played 9 games over his first 2 seasons, his only 2 seasons in the NFL. So, you know, that's the thing. You have to, it's like having a nice piece of furniture, Johnny. You don't throw it to the curb until, you know, you just realize this just doesn't work.
And no,
I think to give it, it's like you sit on it every which way possible before you ditch it to the curb.
I think the bigger problem, and you can agree or disagree, if you rank the teams 1 to 32, and this is, goes back to the fact that Mike Vrabel, for example, had no answers about the kicking game and sent out a kicker who had no confidence whatsoever so he could miss his 4th field goal of an afternoon. It makes me wonder with the Tennessee Titans compared to the other 31 teams, and that's what you compare NFL teams to the other teams that are out there, especially inside your division. I just wonder if they're missing the boat a little bit from the mental aspect of it. Some teams really do a great job with that. Others need a little help. I'm just thinking the Titans need a little bit more help in that area.
Well, John Robinson said that he was going to be doing some self-scouting to see, to try to address, the issues that led to this mistake. But here's the thing. Here's the one stat that trumps the issues with some of the draft picks. And, and guess what? When they got the guy in who missed those 4 field goals, they were suddenly scrambling for a kicker. My problem was that they should have addressed it and brought in a true kicker for the entire offseason program rather than just trusting that Ryan Suckup's knee would be completely recovered by the time the season started. And then maybe then you're not in that, what ended up being an absolute mess of the season when it came to kicker. But there are only 2 other teams in the entire NFL, Johnny, who have had 5 consecutive winning seasons. You've got the Seattle Seahawks, Kansas City Chiefs, and the Tennessee Titans, who are the only teams to finish above 500 from 2016 to 2020. So, and guess who's been GM for those seasons? So it's been John Robinson. This is the guy who also took Derrick Henry at number 45, 12 picks after Kevin Dodd, a busted pick. We haven't, and yes, NFL.com ranked all the draft classes from 2020. The Titans were absolutely dead last. I retweeted their ranking, I think, on Sunday night. They did bad, and here's the thing. Guess what? I think that, I don't think Amy Adams Strunk has to tell John Robinson, dude, get it together. When you're looking at a cap situation of, I think, SpotRack has them at $2.3 million right now. All these free agents to sign, it's simple. The idea of must be better, I don't think anyone has to tell John Robinson that.
Well, before you give John Robinson and the Titans all that credit, they did pass on Derrick Henry 3 times. And not to say the other teams didn't either. 31 teams also passed on Derrick Henry, but he was chosen with their 3rd second-round pick of that particular draft, 4th overall pick. So, just throwing that out there on record, it wasn't like we're talking about evil genius out there doing a great job outthinking the room.
Well, absolutely, but I'll say this: Titan fans at least got Derrick Henry, at number 45 after using, John Robinson did use 3 previous draft picks that draft. But I think that he'll get a little bit more dispensation than, say, the Chicago Bears front office, which has to live down having passed up not just Deshaun Watson, but Pat Mahomes for some guy named Mitch Trubisky. So, among front office issues, the Titans have had far more hits than misses.
As far as men's basketball is concerned, what do you make about Tennessee? Do you feel like it's a team that let's just play wait and see in March if the team can get hot 2 games a weekend for the month of March? Or the inconsistency with this team, especially when it looks like it's talented enough to make a run to the Sweet 16 and who knows, maybe even beyond, that's the part that's kind of frustrating for the fans of the Vols.
Well, I think that, without a doubt, they're just an incredible roller coaster. I mean, it's been crazy to watch them up and down, up and down. And the same issue is prevalent whenever they lose. They can't make shots. They can't get to the paint. Their mid-range jumpers aren't going down. And, they just can't hit the side of a barn at that point, it seems. So, tomorrow night we'll see what happens in Memorial Gym, but and then there's also the theory that they need an alpha dog to kind of carry them. And apparently Josiah Jordan-James, the sophomore, is a little bit more critical to this than maybe we might have thought. He missed the Kentucky game. He was huge in the game at Rupp, on the boards and things like that, helping get that team to a great comeback win. He's dealing with a wrist injury. John Fulkerson, Rick Barnes said it yesterday. It's not something physical. It seems to be, is it mental? He's seen players just go through these funks, and, it's going to be up to Fulkerson to try to shake out of it. Maybe he needs Cher to come over and just slap him and see if that helps. Moonstruck reference for anyone who didn't get that one. But, I just don't know, Johnny. I mean, this is a team that at the beginning of the season we all thought was going to have a chance to go to that first Final Four in program history. Now, the odds are that they could be the team that loses their opener in the NCAA tournament. They're going to go to the tournament, and they'll go as far as they can. They can play really well and be very dominant when everything's clicking. But when they can't shoot, it just seems like they start laying bricks like they're putting up a house. So I don't really have an answer at this point. I will come to this, and it kind of applies to Vanderbilt as well. It's just, these teams have played so many fewer games than they're accustomed to. The non-conference schedule was almost wiped out for most of these teams, and then you've lost conference games as well. Tomorrow night is a game that was originally scheduled to be played January 12th. And then got postponed and rescheduled because of a COVID testing issue with the Vanderbilt Commodores. So, the rhythm of this season, yes, we're on target to have the SEC tournament, NCAA tournament, but that's about the only thing that seems normal in this season. So, they just don't have enough games. There's a reason why teams tend to, kind of come together in February and into March. It's because they've had so many games on the court together. It was just a couple weeks ago that Rick Barnes said that he'd only been able to have his team on the practice court for a couple of straight weeks and it had been a while. So, I think that whole COVID issue is also kind of unnoticed under the radar because, yes, we see the games being postponed, canceled, pushed around. But, the fact that these guys just aren't getting the practice time in addition to the games is having a big impact on this season.
We appreciate you as always, Teresa. If you're not doing so, you can follow Teresa on Twitter at Teresa M. Walker. And make sure you like her Facebook page as well. You have a great week. We'll be in touch.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you. That's Teresa Walker joining us. Coming up, we'll wrap up hour number one. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Good afternoon. Traffic's building pretty good here on the South Loop. The West Loop, it's just busy when you would expect out here, 65 down into Brentwood. Working a wreck at Page Road and Harding Pike. That's going to be out on the west side. There was injuries in that earlier wreck there on OHB at Old Lebanon Dirt Road. That's going to be over in Hermitage. Still blocking traffic in both directions. Hey, you never know when you might need them. Free at last Bell Bonds. Serving Davidson, Williamson, and Rutherford counties. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Final Lap with Kerry Murphy is on.
NASCAR Xfinity Series road course racing from the infield at Daytona over the weekend, and all eyes were on road aces Austin Cindric and AJ Allmendinger. They happened to wreck each other early on in this one, although Cindric remained competitive, but it opened the door for Joe Gibbs' grandson Ty Gibbs. In his very first series start, he grabs his very first series win after surviving two overtime restarts and defending series champion charging fast behind him.
That was the one big thing. It's just taking in so much information and trying to store it in the bank and use it in the race. And it was just a great day, and I can't thank everybody else. I'm so tired right now. I'm like losing it, but my charity helps me out so much, and especially Toyota and my team. It's just a great deal.
He attempted a burnout, but he needs a little work on those. He fell to his knees after exiting the car in a ball of emotion. This was a huge win for the 18-year-old. Austin Cindric did finish second in this one, followed by Daniel Hemric, Brandon Jones, and Jeb Burton rounds out the top five. Now Cindric remains the points leader by 24 after a win and a second place to start the season as they continue their Florida tour at Homestead Miami Speedway on Saturday. The Truck Series saw Ben Rhodes going 2-for-2, kicking off the season by snagging a win in that series again. We'll see them in Las Vegas next.
TheFinalLap.com.
Restrictions may apply. Plans and costs for coverage may vary. Call Protect My Car for details.
These days, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you own a car, truck, or SUV made from 1999 or higher, you could stop paying for car repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny to have it repaired. Just dial **1164 on your mobile phone now to see if you qualify. You must have an automobile made from 1999 or higher, and all repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past. Dial **1164 on your mobile phone today and get your car protected before your next repair bill hits. That's right, total protection for your car and no more repair bills. Plus, free roadside assistance, free towing, free car rental, and free oil changes. Just dial **1164.
Wrapping up hour number one, coming up in hour number two. Usually we meet with and visit with Tim Corbin, head coach of Vanderbilt Baseball, on Mondays at 4:35, but he had some business yesterday because of the weather, the snow, the ice. Vanderbilt Commodores finally got their baseball season started yesterday with a doubleheader. Tim Corbin will be joining us around 5:35. At the top of the hour, Barrett Salee, national college football writer with CBSSports.com. He's also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. All that coming up in hour number two. As always, we know you have choices each and every day, and we appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.